Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast.
Originally founded in 2010, as two champs and a chum, we decided to rebrand when the game relaunched in the second edition. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, and of course to my co-hosts and you, the listeners. Please, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, comment on our Facebook threads, or even better, support us on Patreon. We love turning that kind of support back into the community.
This is Season 12 of the White Book Podcast.
Alright, the podcast is over. This noise. Click.
Wow, you hate Cowboy Bebop that much?
No, I love Cowboy Bebop. I'm just not listening to you go dee 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 dee. Like, are you serious?
I mean, I wasn't going to go any further.
I think I just set the record for the fastest Will ever has to do a bleep on the podcast.
I don't think that's the fastest. Kyle, I think, probably dropped an F-bomb in the first 5 seconds.
Well, oh, because the yeah, first just, thing Kyle
he
said...
He deliberately started with that before.
No, the first thing Kyle said was always the exact same thing.
Konnichiwa, bitches?
Yes, konnichiwa, bitches.
I thought that's what he said at the end.
No, that was the very beginning. It was konnichiwa, bitches, screamed at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Maybe also at the end, but definitely at the beginning.
He definitely maxed out all the levels every week.
Yeah, I would start the podcast 45 seconds in when Kyle was on if I listened. It's like, all right, I'm just going to skip the first 3 seconds of Kyle screaming.
Yeah. Good times.
Hi, no one knows what we're talking about because this isn't the White Book. This is Props and Slops. I'm Aaron.
I'm Will.
I'm Roy.
And we have a new podcast called Snap Judgments. You should find us wherever you get your podcasts. In it, we talk about Marvel Snap. And if you're not playing Marvel Snap, well, let's be honest. You probably found us through a different card game in the first place. So you should play Marvel Snap with us and then listen to our podcast. And then as we get our Discord and other things going, join all that.
To be fair, I think everyone I know from said other card game is playing Snap now, except for about one very noticeable person who is not doing it just to be contrary.
Schoenthal.
Yes.
I think actually Schoenthal has a pretty good argument for why he's not doing it.
I don't have time.
No, he was more honest than that.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
I'm a mark. Like, he is specifically a mark for this game, and if he was playing it, he would...
He'd buy that apocalypse
pack. Yeah, he would buy that apocalypse.
Dude, he just got ego. Sid just got ego for the first time, and it's like, what the...
Oh. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I love ego. Ego is super rare. I think ego is exactly what you want from a super rare card.
I was going to say, it's so rare that it's fun when it does come up. It's more fun than, I don't know, District X. But...
Yeah, I'm for it.
Now we're just snap talking instead of props and slopsing.
Thursday night, probably Thursday night anyway, we are very likely to do a quick snap oh shit, we got new cards, let's talk some shit podcast. Will, at you.
Hey, I tried to sort something out the last couple times that you guys recorded, but could not make it.
About the third time is the charm.
And hopefully, I'll see. Two-day notice when Kristen is just getting back from a trip tomorrow.
Put melatonin in her dinner.
Probably will claim my time.
Melatonin in dinner.
Melatonin in dinner. Oh, jeez.
Problem solved.
This time of year, it should just be tryptophan, right?
I mean, we're past
Can we that. Just change the subject? Like, this is not something anyone should be talking about on a podcast. I'm sorry.
Will is not putting melatonin in Kristen's dinner. Two, I would not actively suggest that of anyone I thought might do that. 3, we all saw Wakanda Forever.
We did. We did.
Actually, funny story about that. We had tickets for opening weekend, and then Kristen got a horrible migraine, like, about an hour before, maybe 2 hours.
Wait, that's what you should say Thursday when you want to cast. She's like, but I want to spend time with her. Like, sorry, you have a horrible migraine, and then come to a podcast.
Jesus. Yeah. Drugs and gaslighting. Jesus, Aaron, you're in a mood today. You're in a mood.
I sleep really, really well as a general life rule. Last night, for whatever reason, I went late in bed at like 11:40, and I was up like all night. Last time I looked at the clock, being frustrated, was like 3 a.m. So I am quite tired. I also had 3 scotches, which are now cycling out of my system, making me even more tired. So it's been a day. It's been a day. But hey, all right. Since Will sucks and let us down as a podcast co-host.
You guys can discuss it. It is totally fine. That's on us for not being able to reschedule yet.
I can't believe they brought Tony Stark back and made him Black Panther.
What? Man. And it was hologram Tony, wasn't it? That AI asshole.
They're saving that for the Ironheart show. They're going to spell that Robert Downey Jr. money.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I liked Wakanda Forever a lot. I didn't like it nearly as much as the first Black Panther, but I still liked it a lot. I have one extremely small complaint, and I liked everything else.
What is it?
I love Namor. I really enjoyed Namor in the movie, but he didn't feel anything like Namor.
What?
Oh. Did he at least say Imperius Rex? Yes, give me that spoiler.
Yes.
He did at the end.
But he didn't feel like comic Namor. He was too kind.
Yeah.
Namor
is a jerk.
Fundamentally an a-hole.
I mean, yeah. He's kind of a giant asshole in this movie. Like
he but no, he's
like it's the more like king side of him, but it's like not like I don't think it was out of the range of
I think it is.
Okay. What's like, the over under on this Namor sleeping with Sue Richards?
I mean, he was incredibly hot.
He was incredibly hot.
But I mean, I specifically said Richard
I mean,
purpose.
Technically, like, Namor, they never
would this Namor sleep with a married woman?
He doesn't seem like it, no.
Okay,
he's very...
then, yeah, that's not the
I mean, I wouldn't put it. I mean, first off...
There's nothing to indicate he would. Like, he might, but there's nothing in the plot that indicates that that is a part of his persona. He's not very loud, he's not very brash. Like, it's just, it feels like, and again, I still like this character. It just wasn't Namor to me. Anyway.
That's fair. I mean, if they are planning to use him more, I imagine that is a tough personality to get people on board with, like fan wise, that is.
I mean, so someone said this recently, and I'm too tired to think of it, but you guys will help. That Phase 4 has had the best villain of any phase so far.
Phase 4 has?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. It's had... Alright, the villains have been... Black Widow was rapist, Bond villain guy, plus Taskmaster. Yes. That wasn't that great.
I enjoyed the villain in Eternals, even though it wasn't a very good movie.
Yeah, Eternals villain was good.
Which one are you really counting as the villain there?
Oh,
just
Superman.
To make sure. Okay, Icarus. Okay,
yeah.
Just making sure.
Shang-Chi had a good villain. Yeah,
man.
Okay, yeah. There's one that I will straight up say is a good one.
Oh, I liked Icarus a lot.
Then let's see. We had
Marvel. He was fine, but didn't wow me.
I mean, No Way Home had a great villain, Peter Parker.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Loki had a great villain.
Yeah,
sort of Loki.
Yeah. Kang.
WandaVision had an incredible villain.
Yes, WandaVision
okay,
had a villain.
Yeah.
Miss Marvel had a terrible villain.
Yeah,
easily the worst.
Falcon
and Winter Soldier wasn't great.
Falcon and Winter Soldier is just trash, so that doesn't even count.
Moon Knight had a good villain.
Moon Knight had a very solid villain. Why am I not able to think of that?
Doctor Strange had a good villain. I like Wanda.
I thought Doctor Strange was character assassination, a terrible villain. But
As much as I loved the movie, Strange gets weird if we really talk about that villain.
There's another TV show I'm forgetting.
TV show is
I really enjoyed Hawkeye.
I like Hawkeye.
Hawkeye was solid. Yeah.
Then Thor, Love and Thunder. I thought Christian Bale did a good job as Gore. I mean, he didn't butcher that many gods, all things considered, but I thought
he was really good.
He butchered less than Thor.
The movie was not very good, but I thought he was very good.
Yeah, the movie was, like, fine. I rewatched Doctor Strange, and I enjoyed it again, so...
You're welcome to like what you like, sir.
It's true. I like what I like. And as I've aged, I care less and less what other people have to think about the things that I like.
Yeah, you spend so much time on the internet reading about people not liking
I do. I like. Do. Ugh. I do. Like the discourse. Anyway. I'll spare it. I really like Wakanda Forever. I was a mark for it. I got misty-eyed at several moments. They did a good job emotionally manipulating me about Chadwick's death. I liked Ironheart. I'm excited for her show. I agree with Glazer that it wasn't as good as Black Panther 1, but I wasn't expecting it to be as good because Chadwick is Chadwick and he's dead. And the movie has to kind of deal with that. And the first Black Panther movie didn't really do a good job, quite understandably, of setting up a movie, a sequel where Chadwick is not there as T'Challa. And then Infinity War didn't do a good job about that, and Endgame didn't do a good job about that, and the fact that the film was made during the pandemic, it just kind of counted against the movie being Wakanda Forever being as good as it could be. But I think it did stabilize the Wakanda franchise, and I think the Wakanda franchise will thrive as a legacy of Chadwick and without him. I think they did a good job.
Yeah, I
could. Okay. So, definitely the strong prop. Definitely worth seeing. You should go. What's next that you guys watched?
Will, pick one
here. Sure. I'll start at the top of the list. 1899. Did either of you guys?
Is that the Devil new show by the Dark creator?
Yes. Yeah,
that's
sure.
Almost I alone.
So, oddly enough, I never got around to watching Dark.
I watched the first season. It was really good.
Yeah. Despite people like Kyle, yourself talking about it, I never got around to it. But 1899's theme kind of just hit me, so to speak. So I dug in. It was kind of... I don't know. It was very enjoyable. And I think part of what hooked me was the kind of turn of the century ominous vibe really caught my eye because it's the realm of a lot of those walking sim adventure games that I like to play. Mm-hmm. So it really had that type of vibe. But it was
probably very slow paced if it's by the Dark guy.
Yes. It was also interesting that out of six episodes of an 8-episode show, by that particular episode, I still didn't know what was going on.
That also sounds like the Dark.
Yeah. So. And not in a just I'm confused sense, but in a, okay, they are still deliberately not revealing anything of substance.
Sense. Is it a standalone season or is it set up for sequels?
You know, it could be either, I think. Because this type of show, I know we are normally spoiler full, but this type of show is very much built on the reveals. So before I go any further with that, do you guys, have any qualms with me spoiling it? Should I, or should I not?
No, I have no qualms. I have no qualms.
Okay. Roy has none. Aaron, you said good question.
I'm gonna watch it. Okay, I said it's a Roy question.
Gotcha.
That's not my kind of show.
Right on. So, okay. The premise, which I admit I got roughly half of that at some point along the way, or half of it about halfway through, just a guess that this is some kind of computer simulation or game or something involving a virtual world, does turn out to be the case. But,
love to see it. Love to see it.
Yeah. But at the end, when you get this final scene of her waking up on the like colony spaceship, there is some question in my mind whether that is even actually reality yet or not. There are, in my opinion, some logic problems in the show, particularly with like character motivations that either are A, flawed, and we're just kind of like, I don't know, mystery box sort of moments for character actions. Just like, oh, what if we do this mysterious thing? Because that will be ominous. And then we'll just never like build any logical reason for a character to do that. Or the holes are because that is also not reality. And there's multiple layers going on here. So I'm not sure which it is. Poor planning or planning ahead to a second season.
Probably the latter, or maybe a combination of the two.
Yeah, probably a combination of the two would be my guess. Like they kind of hedged their bets to be able to do a second season if Netflix wants it. And some of it was probably just rule of cool rather than logic.
I mean, there's definitely some of my experience with the first season of The Dark was definitely a rule of cool kind of we gotta get a good twist kind of thing. And yeah, I never got around to watching the other three seasons, and from what I've read about them, I'm glad I didn't, because it just gets even more convoluted and confusing. So yeah, I mean, we might get around to watching it at some point. There's so many things that we should have watched, though, like Wednesday and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched Wednesday yet. That's another one that Kristen will murder me if I watch it without her. So hopefully this week or weekend.
Wow, your marriage is very violent tonight.
Oh my god.
Well, actually, Wednesday inspired, shall we say.
I don't know, she's going to murder you. That's what I heard.
All right. You've been watching anime, Blazer. Tell us all about it.
So, my wife has, I mean, I finally am starting to have a wife again. She's on the whatever. There's a follow-up series to Inuyasha, apparently, like a future Inuyasha thing.
Had no idea
that she's
like about his kid or something.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Look, I love my wife very much, but there's only so much anime bullshit I can pay attention to. So she's fine. So we finally hang out a little bit again together, which is nice because, you know, I like having a wife again. It's nice. So in order to try and keep her engaged, since now she talks about anime constantly, I was like, hey, Inuyasha and Yu Hakusho around the same era, and I like Yu Hakusho. So you watch like the first four or five episodes, and holy shit, is that show good. Like, he dies in the first episode and comes back to life at the end of the first arc, and it's very strange. I don't remember any of this. I remember like weird superpowered adventures of spirit detectiveness, and I have no idea what the meaning of the show was and what the purpose of him dying was to just come back like four episodes later. I mean, I guess it was a hook, so, but like short of that, it is very shonen anime. That's kind of all I got for that.
Okay.
We are going to School for Good and Evil.
Sure. That's another one of mine, I guess. Whee!
Well, Roy has none.
I have exactly one thing.
Whoops. Oh, do you? I don't know which it is. Oh, Guardians again.
Oh, there we go. So School for Good and Evil is a Netflix YA film. It is kind of one of those Potter-esque, you know, magical school adventure type of things. And so the loose premise is that it takes place in kind of this fairy tale world. And there is a hidden magical school that trains both the heroes of various stories, like King Arthur's son is one of the kids there. And as well as its partner school there, like with attached campuses that trains all the villains. So, for instance, the Sheriff of Nottingham's daughter is there.
Oh my god, is this just Netflix's fucking villains? Like, what's that? Or the Descendants? Descendants. Or whatever?
Yeah, it has that vibe, kind of. And honest to goodness, I enjoyed the Descendants films for what they are. I mean, two.
Wait, you watched
pretty bad, but
the films. Like, it's one thing to have watched the original, but the sequels, Will. The sequels.
I watched all three films and the animated sequel. Yeah. Yeah. I did.
Okay.
I have no other defense.
Look, I get it, Will. I've been in some depressive spirals and watched some true garbage, so...
Yeah, sometimes you just need some extra cheesy, Disney candy pop.
Okay. I got that then. I got something that I can add here that I did watch. I don't know if I talked about this yet.
Well, good. So School for Good and Evil is a little bit loosely like that sort of idea, Descendants, but in a more serious vein. Like, Descendants knows it's hammy and cheesy and kind of leans into that. School for Good and Evil is trying to hit a tone much closer to the Harry Potter films. And it does seem like Netflix put a good budget into it. Effects are nice. The general plot is this girl has kind of a not even quite a Cinderella type of life, but she's a peasant and desperate to get out of it and kind of wishes to be taken to the school. Her best friend gets literally drug along with her, and they get dropped off at opposite schools from what is expected of them.
Ooh, yeah. Twist.
Yeah, there we go. So the girl that swears she's good gets dropped off with the villains. The girl that she doesn't swear she's
right.
Evil, but her mom's a witch, so people assume she should be evil. Yeah, and then things kind of play out from there. A lot of hypocrisy, and you know, is the good school actually training anybody to be good? And
oh, so here on. We go! Wow, deep themes.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that stuff could have been done well. I mean, I think it was fine for what I expect out of this like YA action adventure movie. Could it have, you know, kind of revealed those things and built on them? Like, oh, the good kids are actually really like shallow and vain and petty. And could they have built more on the villain kids, you know, learning some empathy and friendship, like made that a more gradual build that would have landed better? Yes, but it was fine for what it was. I hear it's like a 6-ish book series, so theoretically we'll get more.
So.
Yeah, good. I think I enjoyed it enough to want more. And the villain, fun little tidbit, is played, I cannot recall the actor's name, but if you watched the Shadow and Bone series, I think
new season of that is supposed to be coming soon.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. He plays the gunslinger on there that was probably the most charismatic member of that cast. So that was cool to see him again. So okay. I prop it. That's all I got.
Galaxy, guard 'em.
So, neither of you have seen it, so I won't provide spoilers.
Oh,
but
it's a fucking holiday special.
The Guardian of the Galaxy holiday special is a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. Like
spoiled. I'm spoiled.
How I know.
No.
If you have patience for... So, it's definitely something that if... You know, a lot of people accused Gunn of starting in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but this also kind of... was, I guess, like an Infinity War and Endgame 2, of like the Guardians characters becoming like flat and kind of like exaggerated versions of who they were in the original Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, like Drax is dumb and kind of a jerk, but has a good heart. And, you know, Mantis is stupid. but has a good heart, and you know, that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff. The characters are very, like, one note and flat, but it is, like, a charming, fun little, like, way to spend 35 minutes of your day. Like, it's a Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. There's some cool stuff that sets up the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Like, Cosmo is in it. And
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Cosmo is cool. She speaks with a Russian accent. It's great. You know, there's like a new ship that they have, and it sort of shows like what the status quo of the Guardians is going to be after Thor, post-Endgame, and going into their third movie. So, like, there's some fun things if you're like a hardcore Marvel fan like me. If you like Christmas specials, you'll like it. Like, you know, it's fine. Like, it's just mid. It's a fucking Christmas special. Like, if you thought this was going to be, you know, the next big, you know, the power dynamic of the Marvel universe is going to change in the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Man, you're,
like,
if they had gotten a Black Adam appearance, that would be pretty impressive.
But it's like, it's not
or
as
even
good.
The Rock.
It's not as
even
good
the Rock,
as,
yeah.
As Werewolf by Night.
Which I didn't like in the first place.
So, it's fine. Like, it's mid. It's fine.
Firmly mid.
Firmly mid, but fun, like worth watching. Like, again, it's only like 35 minutes without credits. Like, it's not a huge, it's a great thing to like watch Christmas morning.
Is it Noah appropriate?
There's like a little bit of cursing and there's some sex jokes, but that'd probably go over his head.
Okay, maybe I'll watch it with him. I've been putting it off because I hated Guardians 2 so much. Did we do Inside Job? I've lost track because I went out of order like a dum-dum.
We have not done Inside Job. That's another one of mine.
S2, go.
So I can do that pretty quickly. It's the second season of this animated comedy on Netflix. It's the one that follows a main character named Reagan, who works at... oh, shoot. Now I've... forgotten the name of the company. Slipped right by me. It's a shadowy cabal that runs the government and so on.
Illuminati?
No, those are their rivals. They're like cooler and hipper rivals that gets explored in this season. They run Hollywood and the like. So their rivalry comes up because actually she gets a love interest voiced by Adam Scott. So
busy man.
Yeah. So that was pretty entertaining. I still get a decent kick out of it. I mean, it's obviously just making fun of every conspiracy theory you can think of, lizard people and so on. So yeah, it's worth it if you want some, you know,
is this the one that has the
animated comedy
animation style of that other one that Netflix has? That's like about adolescence.
Oh,
the same animation style.
No, because that I've never watched that one, but I think I know the one you're talking about, where they've got like the really big, awkward-looking heads.
Yeah.
No, this does not have that. It's maybe closer to a Family Guy style, but people's bodies are kind of more standardized cartoon character-y looking than that. Like more standardized, like shape.
Who doesn't love Lizzie Kaplan? Okay.
So, yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. Next up is... Did you do Big Shot?
That was me, yes.
I think Big Shot is me, yes. Yeah.
I added it because
Guilty pleasure, I think.
Sorry, before we get to that, I'm going to do three in a row if you do Big Shot now, so I should do something else. Here, let's do two in a row because I don't need to talk about that. We've talked about that 50 times. Okay. All right. Hey, Abbott Elementary season 2 is even better than season 1. There might be a better sitcom on the air right now, but if there is, I'm not sure what it is. It's excellent, and y'all should be watching it. Like, Roy in particular, it's like made for him, but Roy doesn't watch anything I suggest him watching.
It takes a lot for me to watch sitcoms. And
it takes a lot for you to watch anything.
That is not true. I watch a lot of stuff.
Nothing I suggest. Nothing.
Hmm. Anyway, I don't know if I want to watch something about teaching. That's all.
You don't know if you want to watch what?
Are we talking about Abbott Elementary?
Yeah.
I said I don't know if I want to watch something about teaching. That's
Yeah, okay. It's fantastic and very funny and speaks specifically to teachers in very interesting ways. Right, now go ahead for your thingy.
So, I first watched this show when I was in the midst of a lot of letter of recommendation writing, and I needed to watch something that was utterly stupid and useless. And it is a Disney Plus 2-season show where the conceit is basically who is the college basketball coach who threw a chair at somebody?
Bob Knight.
Bob Knight. Basically, what if Bob Knight was John Stamos? And instead of like literally nothing happening to him,
what when if John Stamos was Bob Knight, perhaps?
Yes. Yes, whatever.
Okay.
Well, instead of nothing happening when he threw the chair, he gets fired and he's forced to go work for a and coach a women's basketball program at a high school. And yeah, that's basically the conceit.
No, that sounds terrible.
It's fine. Like it's a combination of like a pretty standard, like it's weird. It's very much like a family show. Because the adult storylines are kind of like standard ABC level, like comedy drama adult storylines. And then the kids storylines are like standard, like CW style, like with the Disney Channel, like content limitations. It's an interesting show. Like, I mean, not like interesting in the like, you know, it's going to change art, but it's like a fun little like you don't want it's a popcorn or candy corn. Like it's very
candy corn,
very like
very divisive.
Yeah,
it's very divisive. So but you know, it's like a fun little show that was enjoyable to watch. So if what I described is something that you would enjoy, then you should watch it. If you wouldn't, then don't.
Okay.
And I saw a movie. It is called Strange Worlds. It is a Disney movie. It is perfectly fine if you have kids. It is inoffensive and simple and does all the regular, like, whatchamacallit. We should all be nice to the world and live with each other friendlily. Like, take care of each other theme. It's fine. It's like a perfectly fine Disney movie. It's not memorable in any real way. It's, can I spoil Strange Worlds?
Yes.
Does anyone care?
No. I'd be so upset.
It ends up being like it's this town in a valley and like or like in between a mountain range and no one can get out, and they're like, we must and they find an energy source and yada yada yada, and like, but the dad of the main character just wants to explore outside of the mountains, and then it turns out that they exist on like a giant sea turtle.
Oh.
Like they exist, but like the thing they live on is in a very Xenoblade Chronicles way a living thing, and like the second you go inside, like they end up inside the creature relatively early on, you'll look at it and be like, oh, they're just inside a creature now, cool, they live on a creature. As an adult, you'll immediately get that. As a kid, it's a good first way to see it, but other than that, nothing fancy. A well executed kids movie. Holy shit, this is the fast episode ever. All right.
Well, we've all been busy.
Well, so. none of us have seen the same thing, so there's nothing to like discuss. We're like, let us list things.
That's the tricky part. Normally, we would argue for half an hour over something all three of us have seen, but.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Now we're just like, hey, well, how about that thing you saw? And you're like, cool. How about that thing you saw? Cool. All right. Ethan Carter is gone. Where did he vanish to?
Yeah, so that's again another one of my adventure games. Picked it up because Kristen was out of town this weekend and I needed some stuff to entertain me. So I was pretty sure I had heard good things about it a few years ago.
It's a very well-reviewed game. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I am sort of mystified as to why. Like, theoretically, and I'm going to get into some spoilers here.
Theoretically, Ethan Carter vanish?
No, not really.
Well, there's problem one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we're fine with spoilers, and I'm sure neither of you are going to get around to playing this
game. It's not my kind of walking simulator, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Nobody's romancing anybody.
So the premise that starts out is you are this like psychic investigator that can see ghosts and stuff that shows up in this town because this kid wrote you about the creepy stuff that is happening. Blah, blah, blah. You come across multiple dead bodies and kind of work backward and solve their murders and uncover the story as you go. Eventually you make yourself make your way to where Ethan is and discover that all of this was a made up story in his head. He's a kid, a very imaginative kid. And so like one of the aspects of the ongoing story is he keeps writing all these little short stories and like things from them are like happening around town and stuff. When you finally find Ethan, you realize that you are basically his last story, or this whole thing has been his last story, because he's trapped in the basement of a burning house, and all of this has occurred in the 4 minutes, because there's a clock, since he closed the door in the basement and laid down on the like mattress there while he dies.
Oh, uplifting.
Yeah. That
sounds fun.
It is a downer, which whatever, like I don't care about that. I thought it was kind of a neat conceit. The game is gorgeous, but the thing that is terrible is, okay, you know, I like to play these puzzle games and stuff, and occasionally I get stuck on something and I've got to look up like, where the hell is this clue or something like that, right? I had to use a guide very frequently in this game because things, despite the fact that it's kind of billed as this like open world game, and even the guide the first time I went to look at it was like, oh yeah, you can do all of these scenes in any order, stuff wouldn't trigger or would not be there if I did not do it in the exact order listed in the guide. So the way I wound up having to look up the guide to start with is, so I'm walking into town in this intro scene, right? And I'm kind of walking along some train tracks and over a bridge and whatever. I find a dead body. So I start investigating his death. And I get about halfway through this sequence. Basically you have a vision that keeps getting like stronger and stronger as you find out more. And then eventually you can replay the whole like death scene and find out what happened. And I played through about half of that and got stuck and could not find the actual murder weapon. So I look up in the guide. They're like, oh yeah, it's down here by the lake, blah, 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 at the end of this path. And I'm like, I went there and looked, like I had already done that. So I go back down there and I look and hunt, nothing. Well, come to find out, working backward in the guide, there's a spot when you're crossing the bridge that you're supposed to get a vision that like just comes to you that shows you where it is. And if you get that before starting this murder investigation, like it's kind of a wow, what in the world's going on? But that wouldn't trigger for me.
Is that a bug?
Well, I don't know. I keep working backward in the guide and realize, according to the guide, I'm actually in the middle of the second scene. I completely skipped one because as I'm walking into town, if I had just left the path and for no reason whatsoever walked straight into the woods, I would have run into basically a bear trap and been attacked. And that would have started an entirely different investigation before this one. There's nothing to guide you out there. There's no hint whatsoever. It is just, hey, what if you walk into the woods? So then I go back and I do that whole thing, and now the vision will trigger on the bridge and I can carry on. Or there's another one later on where there's a desk with a like a pencil and pen cup that's been knocked over. And theoretically, I need to find the missing item, which, by the way, is a pair of scissors. It's nowhere around in the building, on that, in that room, on that floor of the building, the bottom floor, outside, Nothing. The cave I came out of before that, nowhere. Come to find out, according to the guide, it's in the cliff elevator that like leads up the cliffs that's, I mean, in game, you know, 100 yards behind this building. But there's nothing that points you there. Like there's literally, truly no clue or anything. And the scissors shouldn't be there because the character that died killed himself with the scissors. And in the replay, he and the other character, neither of them comes or goes from the direction of that elevator. Like they both come and go out this other door and in and out of the cave. Like there's no connection whatsoever. So I just, it's a pretty game. I don't know with just the unconnected, mind-boggling nature of these puzzles and like nonsensical mind-boggling. They're just, it's not a logical thing. It's just a, oh, we'll just throw something in the middle of nowhere thing. I didn't like it. I slop it.
Well,
we went from a failed video game that should have been compelling to Will to finding out why Glazer is spending some of his casual time hanging with crypto bros.
Dark Notch and Dan.
How is League of Legends? League of Legends.
I don't know. I played like three games and I'm really bad. And it
you're playing League
me to
have now?
I played like three games and I'm really bad. And it doesn't require me to...
How much did you hate yourself after you played it?
Not at all. I didn't mind it. Okay. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it either.
Okay. I mean, let me know as you get deeper, because basically everyone I know that plays it currently hates themselves and hates it and just keeps going back for more abuse.
Sounds like WoW.
Yeah. Oh, I was just talking to some buddies over the weekend. Three of them were getting back in for the expansion.
No, that won't be me. Classic. Yeah, I don't like it super much, but I don't hate it or anything.
Okay.
It's not my favorite game, but it's also not, like, terrible. I'm not good, which is kind of a problem, right?
Well, I mean, three games in, who would be good?
Right, I guess that is an absolutely reasonable take.
It's not a reasonable take. I think Aaron needs to get good right now. Because I'm just channeling the toxicity of League. So get good, Aaron.
See, so I'm not going to get good. I don't have any real interest in being good at this game.
Get good.
You're not the boss of me.
No, but the internet is.
Wait, the internet is my boss?
Yeah.
I'm telling the principle. Look, Dark Nodge really likes it. I enjoy hanging out with Dark Nodge. I'm hanging out with Adrian and Dan.
John is a great man.
I'm going to give it a reasonable chance. And if I don't like it, I'll stop playing. Like, this is perfectly fine to me. It's like super complicated and frustrating. Everyone's like, it's so simple. And I'm like, oh man, I play JRPGs and card games. There's a lot of things to remember for me.
Yes.
Here we are. I'll live.
You will.
Yeah.
You will.
I hope.
Or I won't. I mean, like, those are the two choices.
Is that making a 50-50?
I don't even know what you're referencing, but sure.
It's just, I can't even. It's fine. Aaron, the League player. Do we want to talk any about Marvel Snap, or do we just want to direct people towards Snap Judgment?
No, let's just make them join our wonderful podcast. That makes me very happy currently.
It's fun to do. It's definitely, I think it's hitting a good spot between the White Book and it's Second Sons. So if you like that kind of energy, you should definitely check it out.
I agree. It's been really fun to do the podcast.
All right. Speaking of Marvel Snap. All right. What we'll do,
I'm in the middle of a game.
In the danger zone. Wait,
I'm in the middle of a game.
So let me boot up my Marvel Snap account here.
I resisted doing any gaming the whole time we were podcasting until the Vanishing Ethan Carter sounded terrible. I was like, you know what I'm going to do?
I knew neither of you cared. I just needed to.